When we're on the mission field, we're telling a story like this. I'll begin to ask the people various questions about the story, and I would ask, what do you think the gates of hell are? What are these gates of hell? Where are they? What is behind the gates of hell?
Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, it's really wonderful to be here, to be back again. We were figuring that though there's a lot of old friends here, there's also a lot of people who aren't familiar with us, so we wanted to just make a little introduction and let you know who we are and how we relate to this church. But before I do that, for those of you who might not be aware, some of the older people here, that my dad did pass away on March 7th, and went very peacefully, and we went up, had the funeral last week. We were up in British Columbia last week, and with Doug and Sherry, and we had a great time, a family fellowship, and just praying together, and it was just a wonderful time. Very thankful for my dad, but also grateful that now he's with the Lord, he's with my mom, and everything is very good. And we've appreciated your prayers for our family over the years. When we moved to Wonder Lake in 1966, I believe, and we were coming from a very big church. And when we moved here, we were looking around for a church to go to, and we visited several various places. And then a girl that went to high school with me was coming to Wonder Lake Bible Church. At that time, it was in what used to be a funeral home down in the middle of Wonder Lake. And she said, oh, you should come and try my church. And when I got home, I told my parents, Melody said we should come to her church, and it's just real close. And my dad said, well, I've seen that sign, but it's so small. But we'll try it out. And so we came here and we tried it out. And just the first day, we felt like we'd found family here. And I think that's really one of the things that church is supposed to be, family. And we just were taken in and felt loved. And we've really appreciated all the people who were there then, and just how you've been family for us all through the years. And then I went off became a missionary as a single lady and went to the Philippines. And then in 1981, I came home and I went to the U.S. Center for World Mission to do some training. And I met this wonderful man. And about a year... And so we were married about a year later in 1982, and then since that time we started out going back to the Philippines where I'd been working, and we have four children. Our first one was born here in the States, and so as a one-year-old we took him to the Philippines with us. While we were in the Philippines, I gave birth to twin boys, David and Jonathan. So we have Daniel, David, and Jonathan. And the day that they turned 1 year old, I turned yellow with hepatitis. And so the mission that we were with, the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, sent us home back to the States. And we were thinking, what is going on? Why has God sent us home to the States? You know, we were just getting started. And about 3 months after we got home, we learned that diplomatic relations had just opened up between the United States and Mongolia. And for the first time, you could actually go to Mongolia without paying super, super, super big bucks to just be a hunter or something. And we felt like that was God's answer. He'd brought us home to the States because he really wanted us to go to Mongolia. And Rick took his first trip into Mongolia in 1988 he was taking on Native Americans to Mongolia because there's quite a cultural tie between the two peoples. And so he made that first trip and they were able to lead their tour guide to the Lord, a man that was like 60 years old, never heard about Jesus. Rick asked him, "What do you know about Jesus Christ?" And he said, "Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. Does he live in the United States?" He said, "No. Actually, they killed Jesus Christ and he rose from the dead." And that was the message that Mongols were longing to hear. It was a whole country with no church, no Christian history of any kind, didn't even know that Jesus had come to the earth. And when they heard that a man had risen from the dead, they got excited about it, and they told their neighbors. And in 1990, Rick and I went together on a trip to Mongolia, and Rick was able to baptize the first two believers in the modern history of Mongolia. And since then, the church has just exploded there. The government says now there's probably 100,000 believers in the country of Mongolia. So it was a wonderful time being there. Rick was the director of the Bible Translation Committee there. And we saw the power of the Word of God and how the Word of God in their own language, using their own terms, would really speak to them. And in the year 2000, the Bible was finished, and we felt like God was saying, it's time to move on and go somewhere else, because the Mongols there were churches, and they were planting other churches. So they didn't feel like they needed us anymore. So we came back to the States, did a little bit of using the book of Proverbs, and having that printed in various countries around the world, because we really believe the Word of God is what has the power. We saw it in Mongolia with the Word of God. We saw it through the book of Proverbs, people hearing the Word of God and beginning to understand who God is and how he wants us to live in the world. But we were in Jordan while we were doing this project with Proverbs, and then 2003 happened, and we felt like God was telling us that he wanted us to go to Iraq. So we spent 5 years in the country of Iraq up in the north among the Kurdish people. We rebuilt schools, and we taught English in the universities. We had almost every Friday we'd have about 20, 25 students come to our house for lunch after they went to the mosque, and we'd have lunch for them and then time to play games and discuss and often share the gospel, able to tell stories about the Word of God to these people. And although we didn't see a lot of response, a few responses, but not a lot. But we hear that what's going on over in Iraq, Syria right now is causing much more openness for the gospel. So God is able to use what the devil means for evil. He's turning it for good in many people's lives there. And there's much more openness to the gospel now than there was just a few years ago. So I'd encourage you to pray for the countries of Iraq and Syria, Afghanistan and Pakistan as well, because I know that similar things are happening there. And while we were in Iraq, we learned about telling the stories of the Bible using the actual scripture, not just our made-up ideas of what we think the story should include, but what does the Bible actually say? And we found real power again in speaking the Word of God. And then finding, especially 65% of the unreached peoples in the world do not read. Therefore, translating and writing something down doesn't do them any good. They need something that they can listen to. So we began what we're doing now, which is recording the Word of God in the stories of the Word of God, covering from Genesis to Revelation in just the stories, building one story on another, starting with creation, Adam and Eve, the fall, and going forward, so that people can get an overview of the Bible. People who don't really know who God is, what He's like, or they have very wrong ideas about who He is, they can begin to hear the truth. And we find that as they hear it, and they respond and talk about it. That's Nuer from South Sudan, South Ethiopia region. And so we are now in about 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah, on April 17th, we're heading to India. And we will be doing the same thing, recording the Word of God for people who don't read and write, and teaching oral Bible schools. I see you have a Bible Institute here. But we're giving people an overview of the Bible, helping them to discuss it, think about it themselves in their own language, and then come back and we can talk about it in the trade language a little bit. But if people can read and hear, if people can hear and understand and discuss the Word of God in their own language, it speaks to their heart and they can begin to transform their lives. So those are the things that we've been doing. And I really appreciated your song. It really speaks to what we believe. God reigns, and as His Word is brought to places, His light will begin to shine. And Rick is going to share with us now.
Well, good morning. It's nice to be here with you. How many of you were here when we got married here? 30? Oh, quite a few. Look at these hands. Hello, Bev. Nice to see you. Okay, well, this was where we got started, 33 years ago this year. And we praise the Lord for this church and your support over many years, and just this time to be back here with you today. You know, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And through this Word, everything that came into being came into being. And without this Word, nothing came into being. And this Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Glory that was filled with grace and with truth. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Said, "Oh, something that you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Some think that you're Elijah. Some think that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets of old." And Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and bone has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And Jesus warned His disciples not to tell anybody who He was. When we're on the mission field, we're telling a story like this. I'll begin to ask the people various questions about the story, and I would ask, "What do you think the gates of hell are? What are these gates of hell? Where are they? What is behind the gates of hell?" Well, I believe the answer is people. There are people behind the gates of hell today in every city in the world. They're right here in northern Illinois, and they're in Calcutta, India. People behind the gates of hell. And what is it that Jesus says the gates of hell will not be able to stop? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell can stop me. They can stop Matt. They can stop Billy Graham. Cannot stop the church. And God is calling us to work together as the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We don't just work together over anything. I mean, they work together at the Tower of Babel. We work together with God and what God is doing in the world. This is what He is wanting us to be doing. If we're going to win, we've got to work together. Like I said, they can stop me, can stop any individual, but the gates of hell cannot stop the church. And we need to be working together as the church in order to fulfill the Word of God, which we saw this morning from the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. We need to work together. Laura and I need your prayers. We need your support. God wants us to work together. And when we work together, there is glory. Amen? In the back on that table, we have our prayer letter. We have a prayer card. If you would like to be on our list, we would love to have you as a supporter. And you're welcome to take a prayer card and one of our prayer letters, and you can look at some of the other things that are there as well. You know, we're living in a very different time than when we were here 33 years ago. And the world is shaking. Amen? There is a shaking going on. And I believe it's going to continue to shake. We're just at the beginning of this shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that that which cannot be shaken will be manifest. And I believe the only thing that cannot be shaken is this word right here. And if our lives are together with this word, we'll be okay. We'll be stable as the world coming into tremendous time of instability as this shaking is going on. We see, you know, Satan, I believe, knows his time is short. When I became a missionary in 1981, there were 16,750 nations that were unreached. A nation is an ethnic group of people. 16,750 in 1981. Today, that number may be down to as low as 4,000. So great progress is being made towards the completion of the Great Commission as the church is working together to reach these people with the Word of God. And Satan sees his time is short, and I believe this is why we're seeing such violence in the world today. ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, all of these kinds of instruments of evil and violence that are shaking the world, and God is using these things. We saw a great response to the Word of God when we were in Mongolia, when we came into Iraq. 5 years. I mean, in Mongolia, you know, we baptized the first two. By the time we left, there was about 40 or 50,000. Today, there's 100,000. After 5 years in Iraq, we had 4 believers. Not so fruitful at that time. But now, because of the shaking that is going on, the people, the missionaries that are in Iraq are saying there's a lot of people who are coming to know the Lord. They're really questioning what is happening, and this whole doctrine of Islam that they grew up under, and now they're beginning to turn to God. So God's going to use this shaking that is going on for his own purpose and his own glory. And in some ways, it's kind of an exciting time. We're heading off for India. I'm 66 years old, and Laura is 64. And we're looking forward to this next step of the journey that God has for us. And we would like to invite you to be part of this ministry of going into India and the surrounding nations there and seeing just what Jesus is going to do as we go. You know, a few months after he revealed to his disciples who he was coming down from Galilee back to Jerusalem. And as he's coming up from Jericho, he sends two of his disciples to get a young donkey. He says it's in this nearby village. And he says, if anybody asks you what you're doing, tell them that the Lord has need of it, and they will give you permission. And the two disciples went, and they found the donkey just like Jesus said they would. And as they start to untie the donkey, the owner said, hey, what are you doing? And he says, the Lord has need of it. And they gave him permission. They brought the donkey to Jesus, and the people took their coats, and they put it on the donkey's back. And then Jesus climbed on the donkey, and they continued on their road, on their way to Jerusalem. The people were taking palm branches and putting them in the road and taking their coats and putting them in the road. And they're shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Some of the Pharisees were shouting and saying, tell your disciples to be quiet. And Jesus said if they were to be quiet, even the stones would begin to cry out. Because it is written, your king shall come to you humble and seated on a donkey. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't like this story. Same old story every year. Here comes Jesus riding on the donkey again. You know, same thing. But I didn't know Jesus at the time. I was just a kid going to church. I didn't really know the Lord. I didn't know the Lord until I was 30 years old. And as I went to Bible school, of course, I came across this passage. And the Lord began to show me that I am in this story. And you are in this story. And we are like the little donkey in this story. As we look at this story, we see at the beginning of the story, this donkey, where is he? Standing up, tied up, nothing to do, bored to tears, sitting around, like millions of people all around the world. And then here come two disciples from the Wonder Lake Bible Church. They untie this young donkey and bring him to Jesus. What is this a picture of? How about salvation? Being untied and brought to Jesus. And then the people take their cloaks and they begin to put them on the donkey's back so that he would be prepared. And what is this a picture of? How about discipleship? As this young donkey is prepared. And if this young donkey will stand still and come to Bible study and come to the prayer meetings and submit to the teachings of the Word of God, suddenly he finds himself in the middle of the greatest celebration in the world. And he is carrying the King. And I believe this is what God has for each and every one of us. He wants all of us to have this opportunity to carry the message of the King, whether we're in Calcutta or whether we're right here in Northern Illinois. God wants us to be working together with Him. He wants us to carry the message of salvation. Like Laura said, we got to Mongolia, and the message of the resurrection just arrested the Mongol people. They had never heard the story that a man had risen from the dead. And as we go and we share, people will listen. You know, when God created the world, He could have created the world in a way that the garden would not have even have needed the man. But God created the world in such a way that the man could participate with God and what God is doing in the world. And it is this participating with God that brings purpose and value and meaning to our life. We have been created to work together with our Father. Amen? This is why we're alive, to work together with Him and His purposes. And since the fall of man, that purpose is to bring the peoples of the world back to Him in salvation. You know, as we come into these end times now, there's some great things happening in northern Iraq with the Kurdish people. Kurds getting saved. There's other places where really tremendous things are happening, but you're not going to hear about this on CNN. You're not going to hear about it on NBC or the BBC or any of this, because the media is not on our side. That international media, it's controlled by Satan. I'm not saying all of these journalists know exactly that that's what it is, but that is what it is. We, as followers of Christ, need to be very careful and very wary about what is going on in the world today. God has created us to work together with Him. He took the man which He had created and He put him in a garden. He gave him authority. He told him to work the garden. Then He said, it's not good for the man to be alone. He put the man into a deep sleep. From the man, He took a rib. And He fashioned that rib into a woman. He brought the woman to the man. And the man says, at last. And in the little expression, at last, we hear the cry of the human heart for a relationship. We have been created for the purpose of relationship. With God, and then with one another. He brought the woman to the man, and the man said, at last, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she came out of the man. And the two shall become one. And a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined together with his wife. You know, a boy needs a mother. A man needs a wife. A man doesn't need his mother. He loves his mother. He respects his mother. But a man has taken responsibility over his own life, and he's brought order into his life. The two shall become one. And here is a great mystery. It's the beauty of holiness. We need to be talking about this to our kids. Because today the world is teaching them differently. The world is telling them, just go have sex with whoever you want to, whenever you want to, wherever you want to, however you want to. And they need to hear from us, son, God has a better way. Honey, God has a better way. Amen. They need to hear this from us. And as they hear this from us, we are working together with God and His purposes in the world. It's been a real privilege to raise four children. My only regret is that I can't do it all over again. It's been a lot of fun being a father. And I think part of that is teaching our children the ways of God. And as we do this, God is pleased. And when we get to the end of our life, all we're really wanting to hear is, well done. And with a smile on the face of God. Well, that's about all I have to say this morning. We're going to India. We could be going to some other countries that are around there. We're looking at and we're working toward completing the Great Commission. This is what's been in our heart from the time we first went to the mission field, and it's been really good to see God move all around the world through missionaries around the world. And I encourage all of you, get involved with the church here in outreaches that are going out here locally and as well as supporting the missionaries around the world. We thank you for being here this morning.